In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
They worshipped him, and they were continually in the temple praising God. This is how St. Luke describes what the disciples did immediately after the ascension, when Jesus, in effect, has left them alone to get on with being the church. So it seems to me a good occasion to do some teaching about the church's worship. At our recent away day, the council spent some time considering the implications of our questionnaire. And some of the comments in the questionnaire has made it clear to me that there is some teaching to be done. And now, of course, if teaching is to have any effect, those being taught need to be willing to learn. That was the problem Jesus faced continually. The Pharisees and others thought they knew better and didn't listen to his teaching. And so to the subject of worship, and I will touch on three areas raised in the questionnaire answers: structure, leadership, and relevance. First, structure. The worship of all traditions in the church has some sort of structure. When I ask, for instance, what goes on at Vineyard or BIEC, people say something like, well, first there's a time of praise, and then some prayer, and so on. There may not be an order of service written down or projected up on the beam or anywhere, but there is a regular structure all the same. Similarly, in other traditions, people will interrupt prayers or the sermon with set praises, like praise the Lord, or hallelujah, or yes, Jesus. And this is simply a form of liturgical exchange between the congregation and the leader. Not so different, in fact, from the Lord be with you and also with you. So the so-called free churches actually have a structure to their worship as well. Although the difference is, of course, that we actually show the structure by using a printed order of service and set prayers. And I would remind you, as Anglicans, we are required to do this. And at my institution, I took an oath to use only the authorized form of worship. Here at St. Ursula's, we make good use of the options within this, at least as far as the contemporary services are concerned. We never use the traditional forms of worship. So a structured and authorized order of service is a necessary part of being an Anglican church. The second set of comments concerned leadership of services. Again, our Anglican allegiance requires that worship is led by people authorized to do so. This is because a worship leader is acting on behalf of the congregation and also on behalf of the wider church. It is not simply a question of who's on the rota next. In fact, there is an old saying, a priest is another Christ. That is, offering up the joys, the difficulties and tensions within a congregation, in baptizing their children, in burying their loved ones, visiting and comforting them in trouble. In doing all this, the priest embodies the wounded, yet embracing presence of Christ in our midst, the one who loved those who despised and rejected him, and yet prayed to his Father to forgive them. and should then be more concerned with servanthood than leadership in the church, coming forward to fill the gaps that already exist and which require quiet, diligent, and, it has to be said often, unnoticed service. And thirdly, relevance. These were comments from people who found it difficult to see how what went on in church related to the rest of the week. They did not understand the point of it. But strangely, that is the point. Let me quote from a sermon preached recently by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, at a service celebrating the 150th anniversary of a revival movement within the Church of England. Its leaders, he said, wanted people to have some sense of being out of their depth when they came into church, of being overwhelmed by glory, by beauty, by something different. They wanted people to be shocked and to be changed by that shock and changed in how they saw themselves and each other. If you had come for some prepackaged uplifting thought, then you would probably be disappointed. But if, for instance, you see that person whom actually you can't abide kneeling at the altar and receiving the body and blood of Christ and realizing how much Jesus loves that person, then you are shocked to realize what Jesus has done for them as well as for you. Then you are changed. And that is the point of it all. The church's way is not to teach you to understand the experience. Instead, she invites you to be part of the experience and to learn from it, to allow the experience to teach you. Amen.